Hey everybody, it's Mike. Welcome or welcome back to the Revision Church Podcast. While you're here, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Revision app, which is actually the best way to get access to new content and share it with friends. You can get the app by texting Revision app to 77977. Thanks for listening today. My hope is that this message will be helpful for you and would inspire you to take the next step on your faith journey.
As I said in the first service, you will get shine off the dome today, so you won't miss that at all. As Pastor Mike said, he's a good brother, good friend of mine. I love him dearly. I am Pastor Wes Foster, one of the pastors at Highland Park Community Church. I'm also the director of the Highland Park Community Development Association, and we are there in Highland Park doing some, with God's help, some wonderful things in the community. We start our summer camp program tomorrow. We'll be in there with Madison Elementary from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. with K through 5th graders. So pray for me that I keep my sanity throughout the summer. Oh, and by the way, there is opportunity. We are looking for churches, volunteers to help us out, to come and read with the kids. If you know math, work with math with them, just contact me, Highland Park Community Church, Highland Park Community Development Association, see me. We would love to have your help. And again, if you're a part of a church, we don't need to worry about the background check. We figure if the church sends you, then you're all good. So, by the way, just so you know, my complexion is such that you would anticipate that, yes, he did grow up in a black church. So I'm not averse to amens. All right, I appreciate that. The more amens, like they say, the more you cheer the dog on, the more he hunts, the more faster he goes. So the faster you get involved, we'll be out of here. I like to fast on the days that I preach. I tend to fast until after the sermon, after the service is over. So, you know, when Mike asked me to preach, one of the things that I forgot was that there are two services. So, it's getting close to, I don't know what time it is, but I know, it's almost 11 o'clock. So, I want to get done as soon as you do because I want to eat as well. So, if you can help me move this thing along, I would be much obliged, much appreciated. Last year, most of 2020, and then early part of this year, were just different, weren't they? Different from anything that we've experienced in the life of this country, this nation. Most of us, many of us, were in quarantine. Didn't go to work. If you worked in a school, you had to be here. But for a lot of us who had businesses and whatnot, I know for our church, we didn't have service for about a good almost 2-3 months. We were online, but we weren't in person. And there's something to that people thing that we've found out how important it was, how important people in your house, people around you, your friends, neighbors, how important they were. Many of us didn't, we took it for granted, people. And we came to understand, we realized that there's so much importance in life. The people in your house, people around you, people you share with, people, the special people that you invite into your home and the homes that you get invited into. It's something about that. When my kids were younger, a lot younger, they were here at the first service, so they're eating donuts and having coffee now, but they're in their teen years, so they're not stunting their growth now, so they can do that. But they were little, and Papa, my father-in-law, my wife's dad, was coming over. He was coming over for whether it was a birthday celebration or a Christmas, Easter, a father, whatever it was, they knew that Papa was going to be there today. And they'd be playing and doing their thing and watching TV or whatever, you know, and the doorbell would ring and they would lose their minds because Papa! Papa's here! Papa's here! Papa's here! Papa's here! Papa! They'd run at the door, and Papa would come in. They'd jump on his back and hug him and grab his leg, and he'd almost fall down because they're all over him because they were so excited that Papa is in the house. And many of us, we were like that. You know, we get, especially now, again, especially now, you someone shows up that you don't expect. You are surprised. You just lose it. We've all seen the viral videos of all the military service people who show up at the graduation or show up at the school or at the job and whatnot, and they have the camera on them, they're just so surprised. Oh my gosh, oh my God. And they just cry and they just jump and whatever. we're like that too. But for us, as Christians, we realize that, it is about people, people in the house. But for us as Christians, we realize that there's more something else. There's just people is important, yes. But more importantly than that is Jesus. And I've titled this sermon, When Jesus is in the House. And I want you to go back with me to a little over 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to be reading from Mark, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 12, when Jesus is in the house. I'm using the NIV translation this morning. And it says these words, "A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus and, after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, 'Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, 'Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the paralytic, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home.' He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" Now, although we are gathered here in this elementary school, and you have the gatherings, community gatherings during the week, I wonder, and I want to ask you this, is this a place where people become whole? Is this a house where things happen and people are amazed? Now here's my main point. Whenever God's people are present, Jesus is in the house. Let's pray and we'll get into our text this morning. Father, we ask for the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let it overwhelm me. Use me however you see fit. My voice, my thoughts, my words, my actions, everything that is within me, Father, I ask that you would use it to present your word to your people. And Lord, I ask that you would open the hearts and the minds of those who are here, those who are watching online, that your word will not go out void, but will be planted within our souls and our hearts and our minds, that it will grow, that we would draw others to you, Jesus, that we would grow ourselves in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Church said amen. Amen. I mean, that was a little weak though. Church said amen. Amen. All right, that's better. I'll make sure you guys are awake. When Jesus is in the house. Now I have seven. I don't know, seven seems like a lot, but there's seven really quick things I want to share with you today. And then I'll sit down and we go. I'll go and eat and you can go and eat and we'll be happy. So my first point as we begin is simply this. When Jesus is in the house, people show up. When Jesus is in the house, people want to be there. They show up. They want to be there. Look at what our text says in verse 1 through 3 again. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Jesus was home. Now, even though this is only the second chapter of Mark, this is the second chapter, Jesus' reputation had grown. It was huge now. It was so big that he was already famous and in demand. People wanted to see him. And now some scholars will argue, well, this was actually Peter's home, not Jesus' home. Now, we really don't know because the text simply says Jesus, people heard he had come home. And we know from other scriptures yet that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He was from Nazareth. We know that. But it's speculated that this was someone else's home like Peter's. I look at it like this. I don't get bogged down on stuff like that because I look at it like this. When I go to Hannibal, Missouri, where my mom and dad live, they say, "My son has come home." I haven't lived there. I've never lived there. I spent maybe 3 days tops there, but they'll still say, "He came home." My fellow, a graduate from Ottumwa High School, 1983. I've been maybe 3 weeks in Ottumwa, and that was in 1983. And I still have friends I graduated from high school. They say, hey, have you gone home lately? I don't consider those home, but I spent time there, just like Jesus spent time in Capernaum. So what's important for us, that regardless of whose house this is, Jesus was in it. He was in the house. When Jesus got to the house, people wanted to be there. They gathered in there. They wanted to be around. Everybody wanted to be there. The house was packed. Scripture says it was so packed that you couldn't get in the doors. And I'm sure the people there were hot. They were sweaty. The air conditioning stopped working. The deodorant started messing up. And people were like smelly, but they didn't care because they wanted to be there. They wanted to be where Jesus was. Why? Because Jesus was there. We live in a world where people want real. They don't want fake. They want the real thing. And they want a real Jesus. They want a Jesus that they can see, they can hear, they can feel. They want to experience Jesus. They want to interact with Jesus. They want to laugh and cry and have fun and see Jesus. They want to see Jesus in action. They want to see Jesus, and they want to be engaged in body, mind, and spirit and soul. And when the word got out that Jesus was there, they wanted to be there. When Jesus is spoken, is praised, is worshiped, and more importantly, lived out, people want to be there. People show up. Have you ever attended a dead church service? Not a funeral service where someone is dead, but a dead church service where there's no life, no vitality, no feeling. There's just people going through the motions. There's nothing there. Who wants to be part of that? People want to, and they need to experience something. They love, hope, healing, teaching, deliverance, life change. But if Jesus isn't there, when Jesus is in the house, people want to be there because they can see and hear Jesus. They can experience and feel Jesus with their eyes, with their hands, with their minds, with their emotions. And listen to me, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues and jumping up and down, running up and down the aisles and shouting and screaming and yelling, but that's not what I'm talking about. They want to experience Jesus. The people want to hear Jesus' teaching. They want to see Jesus' crying. They want to watch Jesus healing, watch Jesus serving. People show up to see this. And here's my next point. When Jesus is in the house, people are desperate. They're desperate to get there. When people know that Jesus is real and present, they will go to great lengths to be there. Remember the four men that had the paralytic? Well, the scripture continues. It says, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat and the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus was in Capernaum, the house was packed. Everybody wanted to be there. Everyone wanted there. There were no tickets, no standing room only, no will call, nothing. The house was packed. You couldn't get in there. But people were desperate. They were desperate to see Jesus. Why? Because they had heard about Jesus. They knew Jesus could change lives. He had done it before. They had heard about his healing, his teaching, his preaching, how powerful it was, how different it was. Go back to chapter 1. And you can see how busy Jesus has been and now how famous he was, how desperate people were to get there. So now Jesus is in the house. People definitely wanted to be there. You had the curious, the esteemed religious folks, and you had those who needed uplifting, those who needed a boost for the week, and you had those who, more importantly, were seeking something that only Jesus could give. These friends were desperate for Jesus to help their paralyzed buddy, that they climbed onto the roof of the house and they removed the branches and the mud tiles and everything that made up the roof in those days. They dug through that and they made a hole big enough to drop their friend down, well, lower their friend down to Jesus' feet. And what did Jesus do? My next point. When Jesus is in the house, sins are forgiven. These desperate friends, they wanted to get their friend to Jesus. So they came, they went through the roof. they disrupted everything to get to Jesus. Now, you would think that they would have thought and been worried about the ramifications of digging through someone else's roof, destroying someone else's property. You would have thought that maybe they might have been, well, we don't know how this is going to work. You know, we're going to disrupt the service by throwing you in there. I mean, how dare they do something that wasn't on the schedule, that wasn't part of the program? Oh, they messed up now. Jesus was preaching. They dug down. Look, you see that? Oh, they're going to be in trouble now. Oh, get your popcorn. Grab your front row seat because Jesus is going to get them. Get him, Jesus. I can't wait till Jesus gets them. Our text says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Wait a minute. Hold up. When Jesus saw their faith of the friends, and I'm gathering the faith of the paralyzed man too, because think about it. Who of you have four friends you'd be willing to just let you lower you down from a roof? And I guess the paralyzed man, again, if I thought through this paralyzed man, I was thinking, well, if they drop me, Jesus is right there, so I'll be okay. But he must have had faith as well. Because of their faith, Jesus forgives the man's sins. Jesus didn't blow up with indignation and self-righteousness, but how dare you? Don't you know I'm preaching? Do you know how important I am? Do you know who I am? Why would you do this? You messed up the guys. You messed up the roof. Who's going to fix that? No, he didn't do any of that. There was something more important to deal with, something more important to take care of. When Jesus is in the house, sins are forgiven. When Jesus is in the house, you don't have to carry the weight of all that stuff that you've been carrying all week. You don't have to carry the load of the sin, the stuff that you have done that you won't tell anybody about because you're too ashamed and too embarrassed. That's laid at Jesus' feet. When Jesus is in the house, all the stuff that you, the addictions, the pornography, the lies, the hatred, the anger, the bitterness, the self-hatred, all that stuff can be laid at Jesus' feet when he's in the house. Sins are forgiven when Jesus is in the house. And see, listen, but there's something else. When Jesus is in the house, sins are forgiven, but some people don't like that. Next point, if you're keeping track, that's my next point. Some people don't like when Jesus is in the house. Jesus says, the man, your sins are forgiven. And instantly the religious leaders of the day, the keepers of what's right and wrong, have something to say about it. Well, they don't say it because you know how we are. I'm just not going to tell you. I'm just going to say it up here and in here. I'm not going to say it out loud. This is what they do. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? You know, I don't think some people realize Jesus knows what you're thinking when you're thinking it. Because if you did, you probably wouldn't think it when you do. He knows what's on your mind when you look sideways at the person who's wearing a mask. Why are you wearing a mask? And why aren't you wearing a mask too? He knows. He knows what you're thinking when someone that you just can't stand gets that promotion. When someone you just, I can't, and they're getting blessed. He knows what you're thinking. He just knows what's in your heart when you decide who's worthy of his grace, who should or shouldn't be saved, who should get a first-rate ticket right to hell, no forgiveness, no, nothing. They should just go right to hell. He knows. Just like Jesus knew what was in the hearts of these teachers of the law, these who had the doctrine down pat, those who knew God's own mind better than God himself knew it. He knew what they were thinking. And he knew that this was an issue. They had an issue with Jesus forgiving the man's sins. He knew that rather than rejoice at another soul being part of the kingdom, they were upset because they didn't like the format. They didn't like the messenger. They didn't like how he did it. They didn't like the fact that, well, you're not a priest. There's no sacrifice. There was no blood. You can't just forgive this man. That's not right. Only God can do that. They didn't believe that Jesus had that authority. They didn't like it or accept that Jesus could do what he in fact said and did when he forgave the man's sins. So to prove how ignorant, how wrong thinking they were, Jesus calls them out. Jesus called them out and he showed them that he could indeed, and he did indeed have the power to do what he did. The power of the creator of the heavens and the earth. The power of the one who created everything that there is. The power to change what was wrong in a life. Next point. When Jesus is in the house, healing happens. One of the main things that happens when Jesus is in the house is healing. Oftentimes people who come to meet Jesus are desperate. So desperate. People have come to Revision who are desperate. They've shown up here desperate. They are desperate for their marriages, their finances, their families, their children, their jobs. They're looking for healing. Healing for their hearts, their heads, their minds, their relationships, their health, and their souls. They come because they saw your sign on the road and think, I'll try that one. I'll try this one. They come because they heard, you know, when I was a kid, I used to, and my mom and dad and my grandma and grandma, they brought me, maybe something's there that I can find. They come because their families and their friends invite them and carry them. They come because they've realized Jesus has the power to heal. When Jesus is in the house, people showed up by foot, donkey, carriage, horse, wagon, car, train, but you name it, you get the point. They show up. But listen, this is important now. This is extremely important. The number one way those who need Jesus show up is through friends and family bringing them, inviting them. Sometimes threatening them to be in the house where Jesus is. When Jesus is in the house, people show up. Because not only can he heal the physical problems we have, but more importantly, he heals the spiritual. Look at what he said, told the scribes and these judges, these keepers of the law, who were upset that Jesus had the audacity to put himself on God's level and forgive sins. He says, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took the mat, and walked out in full view of them all. Is it easier for God, for Jesus to forgive sins, or to heal the body? What's easier? To take away the maladies of the body or of the soul? Now you'll notice that back in verse 5, Jesus simply forgave the man's sins. The man had come for physical healing. Jesus didn't do that though. At least not right away. He commended the friends for their faith and forgave the man's sins. Why? Why did he do that? Because there's a more serious issue. God can heal us physically, financially, mentally, relationship-wise, but if our soul, our spirit is unchanged, we still end up in hell. Everything else in our life can be fixed. We can have riches, cars, houses, children, beautiful house, beautiful relationship, wonderful job, but if our souls aren't resting in Jesus, we still go to hell. And vice versa. If I'm messed up, jacked up from the floor, mentally, physically, cancer, diabetes, heart, whatever it doesn't, blind, whatever it is, bald, whatever it is, if my spirit, my soul is saved, then one day I will be with Jesus in heaven, no matter what this physical life is. So what's more important, the physical or the spiritual? Now, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he can do both. He can heal physically and spiritually. And Jesus was saying, in effect, so that you would believe, so you would know I have the power, I'm telling you, so he could prove to the skeptics that he can heal the man. And so he could show them that he had the power to forgive sins and to heal physically. And the, you know, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that with him, both take place. Both can take place. Jesus healed both the soul and then he healed the body. He tells people, just to show you that I, Jesus, have the power to heal and forgive sins and heal the body. My man, take up your mat, get up, go on home. And this man picks up his mat, and I love this. He picks up his mat in front of everybody, walks out with his mat in his hand. I don't know if he walked out doing the running man, walked out doing the moonwalk, if he just pimped out like, peace out, y'all. I don't know. I don't care. But the fact that he did it, he got up and he left, and they all saw this. My next point, when Jesus is in the house, things happen that you've never seen before. Scripture says, this amazed everyone, and they praised God. We have never seen anything like this. When Jesus is in the house, things happen that leave people saying, I've never seen anything like that. People's minds are blown because they've never seen stuff like this. When Jesus is in the house, it should be marked by people saying, I've never seen anything like that. People should be amazed at Jesus' kind of love that we have for one another. People should be saying, I've never seen Republicans and Democrats get along and loving like they do in the church. I've never seen people of different colors and ethnicities and languages and ideologies coming together like that in the church. I've never seen anything like that. Folks should be amazed at how we accept anybody and everybody, no matter what they look like, what they've done, their past, what things they've messed up in, how bad they are, how many baby mamas you have, how many children you have, how many baby daddies you have. They say, well, come on anyway. Bring them all. Bring the kids too. Bring all the baby daddy and baby mamas. Come on. And then people look at the, what? Why? I've never seen anything like that. People should be amazed when Jesus is in the house. Let me get to my last point, and I'll be done. It is simply this: Jesus in the house. What does this mean? Go back to my main point. Whenever God's people are present, Jesus is in the house. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you are one of God's children. Jesus resides within you. That means wherever you are, Jesus is in the house. And wherever structure, I don't care if it's outside in the park, in a school, in a little mud shack, in an airplane, in a restaurant, at a ball game, Jesus, that's his house. That's where Jesus resides. That's where he lives. You're there, he's there. So when you start going back to work, if you're back at work, Jesus is in the house. When you walk into a home, new home, apartment, shelter, Jesus is in the house. When you go into the hospital, Jesus is in the house. When you go into your classrooms, Jesus is in the house. When you go to the graduation parties and the birthday parties and Mother's Day and Father's Day and Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter, Jesus is in the house. When you're outside in the backyard with the cookouts or at the park with the grills going and it smells good and the music's playing and you have your little Coors Light and Michelob and whatever you're drinking, Jesus is in the house. When you go out and you share a meal someplace in a restaurant, Jesus should be in the house. When you show up here on a Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10:30, when folk, like-minded folk gather together in this place, Jesus is in the house. When you show up in your community groups, wherever they have them, whatever house it's in, Jesus is in the house. Wherever you are, if you are there, if you have accepted Jesus, then he's in the house. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and the Holy Spirit is within you, residing live and moving through you, then wherever you are, Jesus is in the house. And you don't have to depend on anybody else. You don't have to wait for the music to start playing. You have a song already in your head. Jesus should be in the house, because if you know Jesus, wherever you go, he's in the house. I've learned when I'm at a football game, basketball game, track meet, concert, musical, restaurant, state fair, I know wherever I put my feet, Jesus is in the house. It's all about Jesus in the house. It's built on Jesus and not in me. Jesus is in me. If Jesus is in me, then he's in the house. And when Jesus is in the house, my friends will find love in the house. They'll find forgiveness in the house. They'll find mercy in the house. They'll find justice in the house. They'll find hope in the house. They'll find friendship in the house. They'll find life in the house. They'll find joy in the house. They'll find laughter in the house. They'll share tears in the house. There'll be happiness in the house. When Jesus is in the house, if you're there, he's there. And if he's there, all of those things are there. Sins are forgiven in the house. Healing for your body in the house. Healing for your finances in the house. Healing for your marriages in the house. Healing for your children in the house. If Jesus is there, if you're there, then he is in the house. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are in us. And wherever we are, you're in the house. And we thank you for your love that you've given us in the house. We thank you for the joy, for your mercy, for your hope, for life that is there because you are in the house. And Father, we ask that we not be ashamed of you, that we allow your spirit that is within us to be shared, pour out to others who need that hope, who need your love, who need your mercy, who need your grace. Father, who need your forgiveness, that we would share what we have with those who show up with us in the house. In Jesus' name we pray. In the church today, amen. Amen. Amen.